Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Josh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, guys, welcome to The Balance. We did it. I was able to get all the buttons pushed. Hey, so sorry about that. I had too many buttons to push today, so I apologize for that. But we're up and running. And I played the wrong intro, didn't I there, Josh? Oh, well. Hey, guys, this is The Balance. We do this every single Saturday. So glad that you could join us. So glad that you could be a part of the best and top-rated number one. Well, we'll call it number one anyway. Internet radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We talk sports. And, you know, a little bit later on here in the second half of the show, we'll have RJ Cunningham on board with us from Trackside Review, the magazine. And he travels all over to all kinds of different races. And if you get an opportunity to pick up a copy of his magazine, and we like to just thank him. He's a brand new sponsor here to The Balance. Trackside Review, the magazine, is. And he's going to be sponsoring our racing segment every Saturday as we move forward into XRB Radio as well. And he'll be sponsoring us on the radio there. I've got a lot of exciting sponsors that are lined up and be ready to come on here very, very soon. So, Josh, how was your week? Did you have a good week?
I had a great week. How was your week, Tom?
It was good. Kind of hectic, you know, how things go from time to time, but it is. It's been a crazy week. Now, Josh, I know that we're coming off the NBA All-Stars, and we've had a lot of things go on with the NBA trade and that sort of stuff. What I'm going to do here, we got our Daily Zap, the All-Star version of it, and we'll go ahead and jump into that on the backside of that. Josh, break us down with the NBA. I know there's been a lot of shaking and baking going on and a lot of trading and dealing, and a lot of people probably have lost count on who's going where and what they're doing, what it means to each team. So we're going to go right into the NBA Daily Zap All-Star Edition. And then on the other side of that, Josh is going to break down all this trading and shaking and baking going on in the NBA and how it affects maybe your team.
In a town where scripts are bought and sold every day, NBA All-Star Weekend's final act was part paparazzi, part award-winning screenplay. Early on Sunday, though, some of the greatest to ever do it gathered together for a who's who of NBA royalty.
My buddy Kenny Smith likes to say it's like opening up an old box of basketball cards and it comes to life. That's what this morning's all about.
Legends past and present were on hand for the 12th annual NBA Legends Brunch.
It's nice to see people I've played with, people I've coached, you know, and
get a chance to go over some great memories.
The older ones, the younger ones, we're all part of that history, and we're all kind of like a band of brothers, to be honest with you. To see the league where it is today, it's amazing.
Later in the day, with the sun finally shining in Los Angeles, celebrities and all-stars alike share the magenta carpet as they enter the Staples Center.
What they call it here? They said it's another name for it, right?
Yeah, the magenta carpet.
It's been crazy. It's been a lot of fun. It's been nonstop, but I'm really excited for this game coming up.
Anticipation began to build, and East and West prepared to take center stage with a healthy mixture of young superstars and elder statesmen.
You get to see the lights and the glamour and, you know, what all the All-Star Game is about, and it's definitely a true blessing to be here.
In the West locker room, them dudes probably in there sleeping.
There's going to be a lot of jump shots and jump hooks.
Yeah.
Continuing with the star-studded theme of this weekend, Grammy Award-winning artist Lenny Kravitz warmed up the crowd, and the game was officially underway. The East came out of the blocks charging, and it was a big man free-for-all. Amari Stoudemire, Dwight Howard, and Chris Bosh all showed some power around the rim, but the West would not be outdone. A pair of young stars from Oklahoma City helped turn the tide, and hometown hero Kobe Bryant, going for his fourth All-Star MVP award, wanted to remind fans that in spite of Blake Griffin's recent success, L.A. is still his town. At the break, the West led the East by 12 points. During halftime, Rihanna, Drake, and Kanye West brought the house down, but Kobe raised the roof right back up. In the second half, despite incredible play from LeBron James, who posted only the second triple-double effort in All-Star history, the East came extremely close but could never quite close the gap, and that's how the West won. So whether you're a Lakers fan or a Clippers fan, All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles didn't disappoint. Blake Griffin took home the Sprite Slam Dunk title on Saturday, and Kobe Bryant was awarded his fourth NBA All-Star MVP on Sunday.
You want to know the influence of Blake. You know, look at all the dunks I had tonight.
While there may be a changing of the guards at some point in Los Angeles, it hasn't happened yet. Wrapping up All-Star Weekend in L.A., I'm Kyle Montgomery.
All right, I want to thank our friends over at NBA TV for providing us that soundbite like they do every single Saturday. Last night, the Indiana Pacers lost to the Utah Jazz, who are without the recently traded Deron Williams, who they traded to the New Jersey Nets. Also, their coach Jerry Sloan retired earlier this season. It was good to see Gordon Hayward back in Indianapolis. He didn't really do too much for the Jazz, but the biggest thing about the Pacers, they had a chance to pull off a couple blockbuster trades at the trading deadline, and I don't know if it's Larry Bird, if it's the fax machine, if the league office is picking on the Pacers, as some Pacer fans have suggested. But they didn't come up with either trade scenario, and they would have been very beneficial to the Indiana Pacers. But since they didn't come up, there's no point in talking about the players they would have acquired. Carmelo Anthony left Denver to go to the New York Knicks, along with Chauncey Billups. I don't necessarily like that. I think it's a dangerous trend for players to say, I'm not going to play here anymore. You will trade me to this team. We're starting to see it in baseball, too. It's a trend that needs to be put a stop to. When you sign a contract with somebody, I'm going to take Adrian Gonzalez, for instance, because I'm a Red Sox fan. If you sign an 8-year contract with Boston, or Carmelo signed one with the Knicks, if he decides they want to leave, they shouldn't be allowed to. If me or you signed a contract, Tom, we wouldn't be allowed to say, oh, I'm going over here, so who cares about my contract? What's your thoughts on it? I don't think it's a good precedent that players are now telling teams where they want to play.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I think that there should be a happy balance between where the players want to play, because that's where they're going to be happy at and perform the best at. But then on the same time of it, I think that there needs to be an ability for the owners to have a critical decision on this, because after all, it's their money that they're spending, and it is a business decision, and they need to make sure that it's a perfect fit for them and so all people. So basically, from the owner's standpoint, I can see why they would want to dictate terms and conditions of the trade. But from a player's aspect, they want to be able to play where they like playing and where they're comfortable at. And I think that the owners need to come up with an agreement and come up with a way that makes everybody happy and not always come across as the dictator in the matter. We'd like to hear your thoughts as a listener. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. And don't forget that you can also find us on the World Wide Web, www.thebalanceonline.com. And we have a lot of things, sports, to talk about today. So glad that you guys could join us. I know there's been a lot of shaking and baking going on in the NBA, and here's the thing. It is going to continue, and some other shaking and baking that's been going on is over in the NFL as far as the collective bargaining agreement, and they went ahead and are moving forward with a combine here in Indianapolis. Josh, where are we at on the collective bargaining agreement, and are they making any progress? Do you have any type of update on what's going on there, and what can we look to come out of the NFL combine here in Indianapolis?
I think you're going to see Blaine Gabbert of Missouri prove that he's the best quarterback prospect. I think you're going to see Cam Newton prove he cannot play quarterback in the National Football League. As far as the CBA, but keeping it really quiet since they went to federal mediation, I don't really know where we're at on the CBA. I imagine we're still about $1 billion apart between what the players are going to give and what the owners want. I'm not too familiar with federal mediation. I don't know if the federal mediator can say this is the deal we agreed on, sign it, how that works. I don't know if they can override the mediator. I don't know how any of that works. I do know that it expires next Thursday. If they haven't signed a deal by next Thursday, then we're in a lockout. But without knowing if the mediator can dictate terms, it's hard to say where we're at. I know Jeff Saturday seems really upbeat about it. Some of the players are seeming upbeat. Peyton Manning's been to a couple of the bargaining sessions. So I think we're making progress, but it all comes down to whether the mediator can dictate terms or whether he's just merely there to listen. Maybe you have some insight on that. I don't really know if he can make him take a deal or how that would work.
Okay. Well, and like I said, we've got the whole off season here to try to figure things out. One would hope that they can have something put together here before the March 3rd deadline there. And so we'll have to kind of see how that goes. I kind of think that that's not going to happen. I kind of think that it's going to take a turn and it's going to go into the last minute. And are you there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have a bit of a cold this week.
Well, okay, don't die on us here. We need you for the next 60 minutes or so. I think that we'll see an agreement with the NFL, and I think we'll see what happens. We'll love to hear your thoughts right here on The Balance. So glad that you could join us. We do this every single Saturday. 917-889-8516 is our number. And again, reminding you, coming up here in about 10 or 15 minutes in our second half of the show, we're going to have RJ Cunningham with Trackside Review, the magazine, and of course TracksideReview.com and all of his different products that he has. And we certainly want to make sure that you guys reach out to Trackside Review and get you a copy of that magazine, as it is soon, the new and improved magazine is soon to be in print. And it'll cover everything racing. And by the way, if you guys do want to talk racing, give us a call. We're here. We're going to have a segment every Saturday. The second half of our show is going to be totally dedicated to racing. And so feel free to give us a call, 917-889-8516, or follow us online on www.thebalanceonline.com right here on Blog Talk Radio. And soon to be, coming up next Saturday, will be on XRB Radio in AM 1610 in Brownsburg, Indiana, and we will be adding more and more affiliates throughout the year as The Balance begins its broadcast syndication into the airwaves of broadcast, and really excited about being a part of XRB and what all that they have to offer for us, and just another media for you to listen to us, and you can certainly check us out there online there, www.XRB.com. lowercaseradio.com. And then just click listen now and you'll be able to hear us, and we archive all the shows for us as well. So it'll be very, very good opportunity. And plus, if you're out and about, can't get us online, we'll just open up your smartphone, go to your radio app, and go to Radio Brownsburg, and you'll be able to find us right there. That's right, the balance is moving forward, and we're so glad that you're a part of our progress and a part of our the new balance in 2011. Well, Josh, here it is. We're moving forward. Last weekend of February, that means that next week can only mean one thing, and that's March. And wow, NCAA basketball, March Madness is just right around the corner. We're going to have a balanced bracket put together, and we're going to have a lot of fun with that, making picks and picking teams, and just, you know, it's just really one of the best times of the year. Takes us into spring. It's really just an excellent opportunity to jump on the college basketball bandwagon. Now, I'll tell you what, this weekend is forecast. I tell you, it is really going to be some good games out there today at noon. Obviously, everybody, I'm sure, has heard about number 20 at Kansas State. Missouri at Kansas State, I'm sorry. You know, here's the thing. I'm a bracket watcher. I know, Josh, you are too, and I'm sure many of our other listeners are. So if you are a bracket watcher and predictor and forecaster like myself and one of great esteem and knowledge, then you certainly need to keep yourself right here on the balance, because we are going to break down March Madness for you in a big, big major way. You're not going to get better coverage anywhere else than right here. But most bracket watchers will point to Kansas State's upset of Kansas as the moment where the Wildcats begin their surge toward an at-large bid. But I prefer to point to the Wildcats the first time against Kansas in Lawrence when they got throttled by 24 points that ended up in the last game by K-State with sophomore forward Wally Judge. And while the team turnaround cannot be attributed solely to his decision to quit the team later. And of course, later on today at noon as well, number 17 Syracuse and number 11 Georgetown. And 2 o'clock today, BYU at San Diego State. And as you guys know, I've been really watching San Diego State this year. I've kind of really jumped on their bandwagon. I think you're going to see them do some great things coming up here in March. And like I said, it is possible that all those viewers to be curious to check out the Jimmer might come away thinking he's actually the second best player in this game. I recommend to give a close gander at the Aztec sophomore Kawhi Leonard, who had 22 points and 15 rebounds in San Diego's loss to BYU. Also today, 2 o'clock, is St. John's at Villanova, and there certainly is an Indiana connection there at St. John's. As you very well know, I do believe that is where Gene Katie is a consultant at. Is that correct, Josh?
Actually, he's a consultant. He's not just a full-fledged assistant coach.
Oh, he is. Oh, okay. Well, thanks for the update on that. And here's the game to watch today, guys, you SEC fans. And this is just really good. It's going to be good basketball. The Gators and the Wildcats. UK takes on Florida. And the Wildcats travel to the O-Dam back in February 5th. So it should be a very, very good game. And out in the West Coast, Arizona at UCLA today. Josh, we've had some really exciting games. Obviously, Indiana could not pull off a win against Purdue. We've got Butler. We got a lot of things going on here in Central Indiana as far as college basketball and big basketballs that have big implications. What's going on this weekend for our Indiana teams, and what kind of implications is looking at for the Big Ten? And what do you think is going to happen with IU this year? Are they going to get it into any type of tournament? What do you think is going to happen here?
Butler plays Loyola. I hope I said that right. I probably did it at 2 o'clock today. Tomorrow, IU plays Ohio State. I'm dreading that game. I don't even know if I can watch that. I'm a big IU fan, but that's going to be an ugly loss for the Hoosiers. As far as if they're going to make it into a tournament, yeah, they're required to participate in the Big Ten tournament. Other than that, there's not a chance. They're not good enough. They don't belong. And if they take a bid, they're stealing it from a team that really does deserve to go. Purdue plays Michigan State tomorrow. That should be another classic Big Ten game. And something I'm very excited about, and I haven't had a chance to talk this over with Tom yet. But next weekend is the Big Ten Women's Tournament at Kosciuszko Fieldhouse in downtown Indianapolis, and I'm hoping we can figure out a way to get the balance to be there at least Saturday, if not Saturday, and Sunday. We'll have more details on that coming up on our Facebook page later on this week.
That's right. We're going to do everything in our power to be down there, obviously. We have some logistics to consider with the new syndication moves that we're making. We have a lot of people to deal with and some engineering issues, but if nothing else, we'll try our best to get it on right here on Blog Talk Radio. Like you said, tomorrow Purdue takes on Michigan State. It's going to be That's going to be a really good game. Number 8 Purdue at Michigan State. And I'll tell you what, Purdue is really turning it on. It's been very impressive, even refreshing, though, to watch Purdue. And it's good to see them where they're at. Obviously, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Pitt takes on your Cardinals there, Louisville. And I'll tell you what, I think Pitt will beat Louisville in this game. I think it's going to be a good game, and Pitt's just won some good game. And like I had predicted that. Are you there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I didn't know if I'd lost you there. Okay, well, anyway, so we're going to be moving forward with March Madness coverage, and we're going to be really bringing it all up to you. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516, and we'll be ready to go. And I do believe we have Mr. R.J. Cunningham on the line with us. Are you there, R.J.?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear R.J., Josh?
Yes, I can hear R.J.
That's great.
All right. Hey, we'd love to just welcome R.J. Cunningham with Trackside Review, the magazine. Of course, TracksideReview.com, the expert, the all-esteemed guy on racing, knows everything, been covering racing for a good number of years. I think he was born, come out of the womb with a race car magazine, and he knows everything about every race team out there. So I hope I didn't build you up too much, Mr. R.J. So glad that you could be a part of us, And we really are so glad that you're a part of the balance and really going to be an important player here on the show. And as we move forward, in the next couple of weeks over to XRB, like we said, you'll be sponsoring the second half of the show, which is Trackside Reviews, the magazine. Real quickly, RJ, tell us a little bit about Trackside Review. I know it's had a little bit of a hiatus. It's making a comeback. We're getting it back in print and on the online stuff. It's soon coming, so I know there's a lot of exciting things, and maybe some things you can share, some things you can't share, but just kind of give us an update of what's going on over there at Trackside Review.
Well, basically what we're doing real quickly is reconstructing the print version of the magazine and a PDF file of the magazine. What was unique about the magazine in the past is we split our subscription base with the race drivers, and I had to shut the magazine down in 2006, and I'm reconstructing it. I've enrolled in college at Pittsburgh Online University to learn Adobe, and then I've got a gentleman by the name of Gary Holder that's helping me with Adobe formatting and so on, so I can learn how to do the layouts myself, and that will lessen the cost of the magazine because I definitely want to go back to full color. But he also wants to do video, and you want me to do the radio thing. So that is going to help everything move quicker than I originally anticipated. My biggest problem is staying online with the college courses. But we're getting there. I can't wait till racing season starts. I do a blog every day myself, so I'm getting ready to do a blog about this radio show and a phone number so they can log on to Blog Talk Radio. And then you and I are reconstructing the website together. So That should be up and running yet this week, I hope.
That's right. We are redoing the TracksideReview.com magazine together, and we're going to get that up and running. And also, one thing I want to let you know, guys, you can read RJ's daily blog right here on The Balance's website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Just click Trackside Review. It's pretty easy. Click that tab, and his blog will be there every single day with you. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh and our new team member and crew member, Mr. RJ Cunningham, who's going to give us some really in-depth coverage of racing. And of course, if you guys want to talk racing, got a question for RJ, got a question, give us a call, 917-889-8516, and we'll be glad to do it. And when we get back here right after the break, we're going to jump right into our racing segment and break down last week's Daytona, this week's NASCAR race, and anything else that's going on in the racing world. And so we really want to hear from you, so give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'll be right back.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance in Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. You make no sense. You know how cretinous you sound when you think that a broadcaster can affect what happens on a game? How stupid you sound? How infantile?
Trevor Bayne is being told to save fuel. They are on the edge with fuel. I've talked to Mike Smith, the gas man, who has been with the Wood Brothers for 21 years. He said he got all the fuel in the car, but it may not be enough to get Trevor Bayne to the checkered flag.
Tony Stewart's won the pole for the Indy 500. He's won the IRL Championship twice, the Sprint Cup Championship. He's won everything at Daytona.
47 with you. Still with you.
And coming through the middle, Kurt Busch. Now down to the inside. They'll face the white flag when they come around to decide the 53rd Daytona 500. Rookie Trevor Bayne in his second Sprint Cup start will lead them to the white flag with Bobby Labonte. Here comes Kurt Busch and Juan Montoya. Carl Edwards in fifth.
And we know Kurt Busch and Montoya is going to make a move. DW, when will they make it?
I don't think they're going to make it till turn four. I mean, we keep hearing about I'm a setting duck when I'm leading this thing. So I guess that makes the 21 a setting duck right now. But we'll see here. That 22 knows how to win from that position. That's where he won the butt shootout from.
Edwards and Gilliland down to the inside trying to...
Where did that 34 come from?
Trying to spoil the party.
Oh,
and
my God.
Spoil the party for Kurt Busch and Montoya. And here they come through turn four.
Gilliland, former pole sitter of the 500. Edwards has room underneath. Now he pushes Trevor Bayne.
It's over.
Cinderella. Trevor Bayne is going to win the Daytona 500.
Happy birthday, Trevor Bayne, 20 years old.
Are you kidding me? What?
There's Leonard, who with Glenn and Delano, they're the Wood Brothers. Oh, my goodness. First win in 10 years. for what is now a part-time team out of Stuart, Virginia, and Concord, North Carolina. The Wood Brothers return to victory lane at Daytona with 20-year-old Trevor May. Can you believe it?
Hell yeah!
Missed it last weekend. That was the action out at Daytona Motor Speedway. Trevor Bain, wow, what a performance, what a race. Josh and RJ, I know that RJ, you had to watch it on the DVR, and I was biting the bullet all day long trying to send you texts, and you finally just said, now shut up, I've got a DVR that I don't want to hear anymore. So Josh, did you watch the race, and what were your thoughts on the race? And RJ, we really want you to break down the Daytona 500 for us. Josh, go ahead, you're first.
I want to remind everybody that last Saturday morning, I did say Trevor Bain would win the Daytona 500. That being said, he's going to struggle mightily this weekend.
You absolutely did do that, and we'll give you credit. You are the NASCAR god. We are not worthy to be in your presence.
But my thoughts on the Daytona 500, hopefully RJ could shed some light on this. I hate this 2x2x2x2x2 racing. It's horrible. It made the Daytona 500 almost unbearable to watch until about 100 laps, maybe a little less than 100 laps to go, and they started mixing it up a little bit. Hendrick continued to struggle. They struggled again yesterday at Phoenix. There's something wrong with the Hendrick teams this year. None of them really made any noise last week. I was really impressed by Stephen Wallace until I'm not sure what happened to his car. He fell off the pace, but for the first part of the race, he looked pretty good. I was pretty impressed by Brian Keselowski overall. I mean, he didn't do too good in the Daytona 500. But he looks like a driver given a full-time team could make some noise in NASCAR. Trevor Bain looks like the real deal. It was good to see Bobby Labonte and Bill Elliott and Paul Menard. All these drivers that don't normally do too well have good days at the Daytona 500, although traditionally there's surprises in the Daytona 500 that don't really reappear the rest of the year. But for Paul Menard, it's a continuation of the 2010 season when it appears like he finally started to understand NASCAR's Sprint Cup Series. He followed that up with another good race last week. He was 10th on the speed charts yesterday at Phoenix. So I'm interested to see what RJ's view is. Is Paul Menard the real deal, or is he just always going to be a solid but not great driver?
Go ahead, RJ.
Well, you know, this reminds me of a show called Point Counterpoint. I totally disagree. I think the race was fantastic. Although I do start by watching all the pre-races, too. Start the race to see who should be in NASCAR, as I talked about in my blog. And then the truck race to see who should not be in NASCAR. I personally was very happy to see a Bodine not make the race. You know, because I don't like to see people crashed out, and he seemed to tag just about everybody in the wrong way. That's my opinion on that deal. As far as the race is concerned, yes, I did think the 2x2 was interesting, but I was watching it in study. I kept trying to figure out who was going to do what, and when you see some of the 2x2 racing that was going on, who they picked to ride with them was really unbelievable, and I thought it was fascinating to see. There's always been, you know, drafting partners and so on, but nothing quite as like what we saw. When you saw the 78 car and Bain get hooked up with people that you didn't think that there was no way they were going to hook up with those kind of people, and they were moving up front and they were staying there, and I just am amazed to see that finish. And yes, you were trying to bug me, and I know you wanted to tell me, Mr. Collins. I commend you for your quality and respect of my time. And I have to work other careers as well to make some money, production, as Josie called it. It was really nice to see that you let me do that, and I tell you what, it was just great. being with a lady that speaks 52 languages, she can call me retarded in many, many different languages. And, you know, she, it was nice to, why you not talk to him, she says. Well, because I don't want to talk to him. He's going to tell me who won the race, and I don't want to know. So it was fun, and I really, yeah, the 2x2 racing is different. But I've always felt the race was the last 50 laps. I mean, that part to me didn't change. But any hand is totally different. We're going to see, and I've got to set the DVR again. So, but you know, that's just my thoughts. I love this.
I will tell you this, RJ. Just so you know, stay off my Facebook and stay off our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, during a race, or you're gonna be pulling your hair out, because we will update that as we go along, and we'll get into this more here in just a little bit. But I know that they've got a new car in the sprint car races now. Also, one of the things, obviously, you know, that was really remarkable about this weekend is Trevor Bayne, and that just seeing a youngster, a good Christian man, and just him really giving credit to God, and just watching his interviews throughout the week. It was just an exciting time to watch a very young man and very young in his career to win such a big race. And it really becomes the second Daytona 500 winner not to receive points, basically, with his victory in Sunday's Daytona 500. Trevor Bayne put himself in some select company thanks to NASCAR's new point system rules. He wound up in a situation that hasn't cropped up in more than three decades, RJ, and I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts about this. The last time a Daytona 500 winner wasn't credited with points was in 1972 when A.J. Foyt won in the number 21 Wood Brothers Mercury, ironically enough, and according to NASCAR historian Buzz McKim, Foyt had a USAC driver's license, but was given an exemption by the FIA, the Federation of International Automobile, to compete in the 500. Therefore, he wasn't eligible for the NASCAR championship and received no points. Foyt would go away to win 2 weeks later at California's Ontario Motor Speedway, but eventually let him tie for fourth wins with Buddy Baker. Now, three drivers dominated the 1972 season, Allison and Richard Petty, of course. So what my thoughts are, is it fair to young Trevor Bayne, after all the work that he done to get into victory lane there and to be the second youngest winner, not that that would have anything to do with points in its system, but the fact that he didn't receive any points, what are your thoughts on that? RJ, you're first, and then Josh, if you got anything to add after that, go right ahead. Go ahead, RJ. Are you there, RJ?
Yeah, I'm here. I had to run into the other room in just a second. I'm back.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think point system is terrible in that regard. There's no way that a man should have that happen. And, NASCAR's got, they've got some issues that, you know, are just not fair, but they're the big game in town. So, I mean, what is fair is determined by them. So that's the bottom line. So there's not much we can do about it.
Okay, and Josh?
I'm going to slightly agree, but I'm also going to disagree. Since he won, it's not fair. But on the other hand, he knew going into the race he was ineligible for points. So had he finished 43rd, would we still be saying it's unfair that he didn't get points for that? As far as the point system goes, it's a joke in NASCAR. Not a fan of the...
Go ahead. Is everybody there?
I'm definitely not a fan of this. You can only compete for one series or the other. If you're going to be allowed to drive in both series, why can't you get points? And that's like us working two jobs and being told we can only get paid by one of them. Sorry, you can't get paid by the other company. You can only get paid by us. Sorry, that's not fair.
I agree with you 100%, Josh, and that's exactly 100% my sentiments. I mean, if you're going to race in both series, why not be able to get points? And so I'm just curious on how you think that with a win like Trevor Bayne and now all the spotlight on the point system, and us as media people can break down and really just micromanage every little word, every little point thing that's done, because that's what we do. But do you think really that NASCAR is listening to us, listening to the fans, or do you think that there'll be any changes in that at all, RJ?
Oh, yeah, I do think they'll change that. I don't think that'll stay the same. And the Wood brothers, I'm sure, are fighting on his behalf. And I'm just happy to see the Wood brothers back on top, even if it's only a temporary thing. They're one of the teams that really has struggled in recent memory, and it's really cool to see them back. I'm sure that their phones were ringing like crazy this week.
I'm sure, absolutely. Well,
I don't think they're going to change the main point structure, but I think they're going to have to do something. As a matter of fact, I would think it's going to be the same the remainder of the year. I think somehow there's going to be some points in it involved there down the pike. So, just my opinion. I've got lots of them.
And throughout the racing season, I'm sure that we will hear a lot of them. And I know NASCAR has a new car this year in 2011. I got a soundbite that kind of breaks down the new car. Why don't you go ahead, RJ, and just kind of break down the new 2011 car? And do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? Do you think that they did the right thing? And then on the other side of that, I'll try to have that soundbite ready. But go ahead.
I think it's great. As a matter of fact, I think that the teams that drove the Dodge chassis were amazed how quality of product. I think that you're going to see more of that come down the pike before the end of the season. Getting back to the chassis, though, I what is really cool is to make the cars look more like a car instead of, just the old format, everybody breaking through the air the same way. So I'm really looking forward to the season in every respect, even some road course racing, believe it or not. I'm not really that much of a road course fan, but they seem to make it exciting there too. So I'm all for it. That part is great.
Okay, and I tell you what, I apologize, guys. I had a clip from Fox Sports that broke down the new 2011 car, but for some reason it's not loading here, and we want to just certainly make sure that it doesn't hold up any time that we have. Guys, we want to hear your thoughts, 917-889-8516, if you've got a question for RJ Cunningham, of course, $2 Bill Josh, or myself. And also, just keep in mind, you can find everything in all of our archive shows on the website, www.thebalanceonline.com. You can pull all of the archive shows off of iTunes. Just go to your iTunes accounts and search The Balance. It's free. You can even subscribe to an RSS feed, so as soon as there's a new show archived, it'll show up. And then follow us on Twitter, T-Balance, and, of course, on our Facebook, just search The Balance. And beginning next week, we'll be on XRB Radio on their full Internet system, as well as phone applications as well. And soon to come, more and more stations as we add The Balance to our syndication line. So glad that you, the listener, could be a part of it. Now, we're here with R.J. Cunningham of Trackside Review, the magazine, which is the ultimate authority and leader in racing, and certainly covers a wide form of racing. And I'm sure one of the things that RJ touches on his magazine from time to time is the truck series, which I know a lot of people follow the truck series. And so give us a little bit of thought of what's going on. We obviously we know that Kyle Busch, and here's a spoiler alert here for you, RJ, so just letting you know ahead of time. Kyle Busch holds off Bowyer for a truck victory at PIR and becomes the fastest driver in NASCAR to win 25 races in single race in single series. What are your thoughts about the truck series? I had the opportunity last year to go to the truck race. It was the first truck race I'd ever been to out there at O'Reilly. Well, formerly known as O'Reilly, now the Lucas Oil Raceway. But what are your thoughts on the Truck Series this year? What can we look at as truck fans? And then also what I want you to do, RJ, just kind of break down some of the other series, the USAC, and just different other type of coverages that Trackside, the magazine, will be covering, and what they can look for from you as both a reader and a listener in the races that you cover. Just kind of boil that all down into that. So I'm going to give you the floor, Mr. R.J. Cunningham.
Well, the thing I do like about the truck races is people that know me well know that I cover the short track racing in the Midwest, whether it be a pavement race, a dirt late model race, a USAC event, whether a Silver Crown race, car race, sprint car races at local short tracks, sprint car races in Illinois, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, Eldora Speedway, one of my favorite tracks, Winchester Speedway, one of my favorite paved tracks. And the thing I like about the Truck Series events is a lot of the guys that I see racing in some of these short track events will get a start into the truck races. Jimmy Kite being one of them, many, many others, Mike Bliss, J.J. Yaley, any of them from time to time will get in those truck races and make it step up to the Nationwide Series or NASCAR. The truth be known, most of those drivers, whether they will say it in print or not, prefer racing at the short track level, but they command more money, as a family does, and so therefore they go where their money's at. I always grew up as an open wheel fan more so than stock car racing, but in stock car racing, they have made it, so they own it. I mean, they own it. I mean, if you're not involved trying to move up the ladder into NASCAR at this point in anyone's career, then you're making a mistake. You're even seeing, you know, Fittipaldis and you know, all these Formula One sons and nephews and so on coming over to NASCAR ranks, and there's a reason for it. It's exposure. Full-time paycheck, the bottom line, that's how you get it. The open wheel series around the world is not commanding the dollars that NASCAR does, and they had a down year in NASCAR last year, as most series did, but still, you know, that's where they need to be. So the truck races, from my standpoint, we'll see a guy that's just stepping out of diapers, basically, and look at the Bush kids. I mean, you know, I've seen them start from nothing, and basically they hire these kids the minute they see them in a quarter midget now, and they've got their lives planned. It's really cool to see that happen. And that's what I like about short track racing. I myself can see somebody like a Tony Stewart start and see them progress, whether it be in trucks or Nationwide or whatever. And I enjoy about it, just seeing people that you don't normally see.
Okay. And we're really looking forward to having R.J. Cunningham and Trackside Review, the magazine, out part of the balance and really breaking down the racing coverage for us. And they're a perfect fit for us because here at the balance we cover everything sports, and Trackside Review covers everything racing. So glad that you could be a part of us. Now, Josh, I know that you and we want to hold off our picks to right here toward the end here on who the drivers are going to win right over there in Phoenix on Sunday. And of course, we got the Nationwide race today as well, I believe. And so we've got the race out there in Phoenix. Josh, now I know that we just heard RJ say he's more of an open wheel fan. You've got something in common. Josh, you're more of an open wheel fan as well. Obviously, you know, you know, there's a lot of media coverage and stuff on the NASCAR series right now, and that's kind of what we're pointing at. So we're certainly not taking away from the open wheel at all by any stretch of the imagination. And obviously, closer to the time of May, we'll really get into a lot of open wheel racing talk. But Josh, what do you think is going to happen, and what are your thoughts this week in NASCAR with Trevor Bayne, and what are you think is going to happen out there in Phoenix? Without giving us your pick just yet, Josh, and on the other side of that, RJ, I want you to break down this race coming up in Phoenix. It's obviously a track that's been around for a while. It's in the mountains. It's kind of a fun race to watch. It's an oval track. It's exactly 1 mile, as a matter of fact. It's supposed to be cloudy and 54 degrees there tomorrow. I'd like to see break that down, and then obviously we've got Vegas after that out in the desert. But real quickly, Josh, what's going to happen out there in Phoenix? And then RJ, break down the race tomorrow and what we can expect in the NASCAR series. Go ahead, Josh.
What I think is going to happen in Phoenix, you know, the Daytona 500. Over everybody spends like 4 months getting ready for that one race, and that's a great race. Don't get me wrong. Tomorrow, the NASCAR season really starts. I mean, I know that was an official race, and it's the biggest race of the year. These teams have had 1 week to get ready for Phoenix. Now they're back. It's not the 2 weeks of Daytona. Now we're back into the heart of the season. Now, starting tomorrow, you're going to start to see the contenders separate from the pretenders. I'm not going to give you my pick. I'm going to say Hendrick will get it turned around a little bit. I don't think Trevor Bayne's going to do much at Phoenix. I don't think he's quite ready to race with the big boys on the short tracks. And I'm going to consider a 1 mile a short track. Maybe it's more of a mid-sized track. But before I hand it over to RJ, I also want to get his thoughts on Tony Kanaan is now without a ride. He signed a deal to DeFerrin Racing, and DeFerrin Racing has broken up and Tony Kanaan appears to be out of Indy Racing League, so I want to get RJ's thoughts on that and what's going to happen tomorrow in Phoenix.
Okay, it's my turn. Well, once again,
it's your turn. Go right ahead.
Okay. Point counterpoint. I like this because I just think that the Wood Brothers team has been looking for somebody, and I think he's going to finish top 10. And I also think that any of the Harvick efforts are going to come to the forefront. And whenever he's in, he had a down race in Daytona, and I think you're going to see him come to the front with the new Bud colors, and I think he's got to. And I don't think he's going to go for an answer, and I think some people are going to move out of the way, whether they want to or not. And that's my thoughts on that particular event. I'm just curious, though, my point, counterpoint, where'd you get your $2 nickname from?
Let me answer that, Josh. Here's what it is. Josh and I were at BW3's one night watching a ball game, and the waitress came by or something, and he was going to pay, and he pulled out, like, a wad of $2 bills. I don't know where he got them at. Josh, you might know the story about it, but he had a bunch of $2 bills. He paid his tab with $2 bills. So I started calling him $2 Bill Josh, and it just kind of stuck. But go ahead, Josh.
I actually don't remember where I got that wad of $2 bills, but RJ, what's your thoughts on Tony Kanaan apparently being done in Indy Racing League, at least for the time being?
I'm going to tell you what, he caused his own demise, in my opinion. Whether you agree with Danica Patrick or disagree with Danica Patrick, if you watched one of the races last year, and I can't remember which race it was, where he fought and fought and fought to stay ahead of her, instead of her being the faster car and using what I would consider team rules to let her go by because she was a faster car for the benefit of the team, that cost that team dearly, that particular event. And I knew when that event was over, it was going to cost him his ride with Andretti. And you know, whether he deserves that or not is not ours to decide, but someone will pick him up for at least the month of May. But there's limited dollars in the Indy Racing League this year, especially. However, next year, boys, it's a totally new game. And I'm really looking forward to next year. I think it's just going to be twiddling my thumbs this year, watching the old chassis and so on. But, boy, next year, it's going to be exciting for me again because in racing, I like to see the different looks of the chassis and so on. And while they were deciding what to do with that chassis, I was on the Internet almost every day. You know, this is what I like. This is what I dislike. This is what I was on their website hounding, you know. So even though it's a spec deal, it's going to have a different look than spec, and it's going to go back to turbocharging. And so I'm just, like I say, this year, everybody's going to line themselves up in different areas, and there's going to be teams that are formed behind the scenes that we're not even going to know about for months. And I'm not worried about Kanaan being gone from the series for a long period of time myself. He'll run somewhere in May, and then after May, there'll be a team formed with maybe him as a main driver, in my opinion. So that's my thoughts there, $2. How come I don't have a fancy name? I can't even get Josie to call me RJ. She wants to call me Renzo J. Cunningham, which is my given name. And it's really bugging me. So anyway, go ahead, guys.
Go ahead, Josh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I believe the race you're referring to last season happened at Texas under the lights on a Saturday night. I vaguely remember this. He just got out of Danica Patrick's way. I believe as it is, she finished second or third, but had he got out of her way a little bit faster, I believe she had a car capable of shocking Ganassi that night. As is, he was a good 5 miles per hour slower, but he blocked her every time she tried to get by for whatever reason. So I believe you're referring to Texas. It may not have been Texas, but I'm pretty sure it was Texas last June you're referring to.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I was sitting there, you know, me being an Andretti fan all my life, I was amazed he did that. And I'm sitting there telling him that he's fired on TV. I talk to the TV a lot. I'm sure that my dad used to tease me about, couldn't hear me, but as far as I'm concerned, it does. And I said, you're fired, Tony. You're fired. You're fired right now. You're costing the team a chance to win this event, or at least being a solid contender in this event. And I was furious. So him to lose that deal and have to struggle again, so be it. You know, maybe he might learn his lesson. But it does create some drama as well. You know, obviously when he gets back into the series, you better watch Danica and him together. I remember 2 or 3 years ago in a pit confrontation, I believe it was him, that said, you know, if I run into this again, you know, she's gone. I mean, I can't take it. You know, she's a racer, you know, and whether you like or dislike the young lady, she is a racer, and she only wants to go up front. I think in NASCAR, she's just basically trying to learn. And
well,
I think there's issues there, too. She's wanting that full-time paycheck, and she's, by running both series, she's getting a full-time paycheck.
Well, I can you hear me, RJ?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Josh?
Loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Well, I was getting a meter thing going the other direction on my mic, so I wanted to make sure that everybody could hear me. I like Danica. I think she's obviously a great racer. She's a tremendously attractive woman, even if she doesn't know where the state of Tennessee is or the Bristol race was. Well, guys, we're coming down to that time of the hour. So glad that you could join us. We are here at the two-minute warning. We do this every single week, and we do the two-minute warning. And basically what we're going to do real quickly in our two-minute warning here, we're going to break down our picks for Phoenix tomorrow out there in the mountains of Arizona. So real quick, Josh, give us your pick, and then Mr. RJ Cunningham and I'll finish it up with our pick right here on the two-minute warning. Go ahead.
I want to pick Danica Patrick to win the Nationwide Series race today. She's led the last two Nationwide races she's been in. As far as tomorrow, the 48 car will be back in victory lane.
Go ahead, RJ.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Harvick, and then and it's going to be Busch, Kyle, in the Nationwide. And Tony Stewart's going to be in the top five, and Jeff Gordon's going to be in the top 10. That's about my pick there. So, not your
turn. Okay, guys, because for essence of time, I'm not going to break down the Nationwide Series, but I will tell you, for the actual NASCAR Sprint Cup race, I picked Carl Edwards. I think Ford is showing that the last season surge was no fluke, and that Roush Gates Our FR9 engine swept the first three spots in the 500 with Bain, Edwards, and Gillian. So I think Carl Edwards will be right there for the win and to take the checkered flag. So glad that you could be with us, Mr. R.J. Cunningham. We look forward to you being with us next week and moving forward with on XRV Radio, AM 1610, and, of course, right here on Blog Talk Radio. $2 Bill Josh, it's been good to be with you. This is Saturday, February 26th, and you are on The Balance.
Mimi.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.